Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, friends. This is Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries. It's just wonderful to be with you, and I'm really excited about continuing our study on the olive tree illustration. And what we established last week is that there are some wild Gentile branches out there, like my friend Bobby, who's joining us today, my co-host. And then there are some actually pretty wild natural branches, like myself. And it's only by God's grace that I was not broken off. And so we also look forward to a day when, along with the grafted in wild olive branches of Gentile believers, like my friend Bobby, being grafted in, that actually there will be a whole bunch of natural branches that will emerge also. And that it seems that we all feed off of the same spiritual root. And that's God's promise to Abraham. I'll bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee, and through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, the Gentiles are one of the families of the earth, and actually so are the Jewish people. And so the great promises of blessing in God's unconditional covenant made with Abraham is a blessing to both Jews and Gentiles. And we're going to see how all that gets connected as we look at the olive tree illustration, and we are now going to look at verse 19. Would you read it for us, Bobby?
Yeah, I would love to. Romans 11, verse 19. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Behold, then, the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise, you also will be cut off.
So we can get into something that's a little controversial here. So, Bobby, give me your opinion based on the text. Does Gentile inclusion necessitate Jewish exclusion?
No, absolutely not.
Is that what Paul's saying?
No, he's saying the exact opposite. I love this because he's really issuing a warning to Gentile believers in particular here. And I think many Gentile believers, we need to hear this loud and clear, that the last thing that we should do is think that we are so much better, or that we are so much more blessed than the Jewish community or the Jewish people that are out there who don't believe in Jesus as the Messiah. Paul's warning against that very strongly. He says, don't be conceited. You know, don't boast against the branches that were broken off so that you could be grafted in. Don't boast, but fear. Have a very real fear of God. Why? Because it's in his hands. Our lives, our eternity, our eternal fate, it's all in the hands of a mighty and awesome, loving God.
Now, it's also interesting, if you go back to that root, the Abrahamic covenant, remember, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Gentile inclusion in the plan of God and in the future that God's planned for this world was not an afterthought.
Right.
It was foundational.
Right.
In fact, God chose the Jewish people to be a conduit of his blessings to the Gentiles. And so when God wanted to do something to shine his light to the nations of the world, he actually created a people from a barren elderly couple in an incredible miracle, and gave Abram a commission to bless the world, sent him to a new country, caused him actually to be totally dependent upon God, and brought Abram into a whole new purpose in life, which was to be a light and shine it to the nations of the world. So Gentiles were always supposed to be included in the promises of God. So when God narrowed the plan of redemption post-flood in choosing this family of Semitic people, Abraham and his children, God did it in order to bring the message of grace and mercy and truth to the nations. And so Jewish people were never chosen for their own survival. They were never chosen for their own self-enjoyment. The Jewish people were chosen with a vocation, a job, to bring a light to the Gentiles. So there's little doubt about that. Secondly, what's really clear here is both Jews and Gentiles stand or are cut off by faith.
Mm-hmm.
So faith is the key. So when we look to that greater son of Abraham, who died for our sins, conquered death, rose from the dead, sits at the right hand of the Father, this ultimate blessing of the world came through the ultimate Jewish person, Jesus the Messiah. And so when we believe in him, because of God's grace, by our faith, then we have everlasting life. And so Jesus is the key to it all, but he's the promise. He's the fulfillment of the promise.
Right.
And so the tree is a picture of, in many ways, of the kingdom of God. And it's a picture of grace. So we all tap into the Abrahamic covenant. We all have experienced God's mercy and grace through Jesus the Messiah, the ultimate fulfillment of that promise, as Paul would write many times over. And we get there by putting our faith or our trust in him. Therefore, it's an unconditional covenant. It's all because of the work of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of our faith. We have done absolutely nothing to deserve God's grace. And so that's Paul's point, that whatever God has in the future is all of God. He's fulfilling his promises, and that there's no room for boasting or arrogance on the part of Gentile believers or on the part of Jewish believers. It's not like the Jewish believers can come off and say, hey, move over, kiddo, we're the originals, you know?
Right.
And
right.
God's intention was always to have both united together through the blessings of this great covenant.
Right. And I think that this just further underscores Paul's bigger point, and the bigger point of the entire scripture is that we see the interconnectedness between all of the covenants throughout the scriptures, throughout the Bible.
Right.
The Abrahamic promise, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the New Covenant. They're all related to each other. Paul uses this kind of language in Ephesians 2 also, where he refers to the covenants, plural, of the promise, singular. So there's one singular promise that unites all of these covenants together and shows how they build upon one another. And yeah, I mean, they all pointed to this great, beautiful reality that we see in Romans 11, where Jewish and Gentile believers are finding unity in the promise being fulfilled, in the person and the work of Jesus the Messiah. So we see all the families of the earth being blessed, just like he said he would do in the Abrahamic promise. We see, like at the end of Deuteronomy, right, the end of the Mosaic covenant, Deuteronomy 32, verse 43, Moses paints this picture of Jew and Gentile worshiping together. It says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, with Israel. The Davidic covenant, right? I mean, there's one king who rules over this eternal kingdom that extends from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And in all of this, again, it finds its fullness in Jesus.
Yeah. Again, the olive tree is just such an interesting illustration. A lot of people who believe that God's promises for the Jewish people were left at the rejection of Jesus by the Jewish people. In other words, the rejection of Jesus put the Jewish people out of God's plan. And that couldn't be further from the truth. That's not true. And so it's clear that God still has a plan for the Jewish people, and that's why we get to what we get to in Romans chapter 11. Now, the olive tree cannot be Israel. I think it really does refer to God's covenant, at least the rich root of the olive tree. So in other words, grafted in Gentiles do not become Jews.
Mm-hmm.
They're attached to the Abrahamic promise, but they don't become Jews. They don't inherit the physical promises that God gave to Abraham of being a people and having a land. It's not that we can't invite Gentiles over to our home for dinner, but the land, you can't spiritualize it either. It's a real land with real boundaries, Genesis 15. And so when we spiritualize the whole thing, we really lose it. When people say that the olive tree is Jesus, that's also a problem. Because if the olive tree is Jesus, then the Jewish people are basically all consumed in that. And most people would end up saying that it's Jesus, but really the root would be Jesus and the olive tree would be the church, you know. And so the Jewish people get consumed in the church. Now, I believe I'm a member of the church, but I also believe that God made promises to national Israel that will be fulfilled. That's the whole point in Romans chapter 11. Now, just to remind us of one more aspect of this that's so important, and that is before God restores the Jewish people spiritually and then even physically, before this turning of the nation of Israel to the Lord, it's important to know that right after the olive tree illustration, he says in verse 25 about not wanting you to be uninformed of this mystery, he says, a partial hardening has happened to Israel. Now, what's the next phrase? Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So in other words, there is a time when the fullness of the Gentiles will have come in, and then God will begin grafting back in the natural branches. And that's what he means in Romans 11, 25. What's also interesting is that it has implications for the way we live now in terms of being part of the church as both Jews and Gentiles. Because, you know, it's it's interesting. We will ultimately be one in the future kingdom, faithful Jewish people and Gentiles. We are one before we get saved, because we're all one in sin, Romans 5, right? We all inherit the Adamic nature of sinfulness. And so eventually Jews and Gentiles who are faithful and trust in Jesus will be one, but we're an incredible unity before we get saved. We're one in sin. You know, nobody wants to talk about that, but it's true. But there is an incredible unity when we come to know the Lord in this life also. And Paul spells it out in Ephesians 2, 11 through 13. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were, okay, this is for the Gentiles who were grafted in, you were at that time separate from Christ, who's the ultimate fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. No land promises, not part of the people, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, Paul uses the Greek word politeia, and politeia means commonwealth, akin to the English word citizenship, peoplehood, or nationhood. So through Israel's Messiah, Christ, Gentiles who were once aliens, foreigners, have been made near and granted citizenship into the commonwealth of Israel as non-natives. I mean, when you think about this. And so the olive tree is a commonwealth, but a commonwealth is made up of different nations. So look at the British Commonwealth. So you have a king, Charles. So you have a commonwealth. But England is part of the commonwealth. Australia is part of the commonwealth. New Zealand's part of the commonwealth. Canada is part of the commonwealth. And so you have different nations, one commonwealth, one king. It's a good illustration of what we're talking about. So we're not all the Australians are not Canadians. And Canadians are not British. Then certainly not Scots or Northern Irish, okay? And yet all part of the Commonwealth. So Gentiles have their role in what God has promised, and that's the spiritual reality of eternal life through the Jewish Messiah, and Jewish people who make that same profession of faith have a relationship with that same Messiah. What happens when Jews and Gentiles come together under one king is that we're all part of the kingdom of God, and we have a bright future. There are certain promises that are for the Jewish people, some for the Gentiles, because we're not exactly the same, just like Australia is different than New Zealand and Canada. But we have a common king and a bright future. Now, it doesn't mean that anybody replaces the other. It just means that there are some different promises, like the land promises to the Jewish people, that are slightly different. But the greatest blessing is that there's one king who rules over us all, and that's King Jesus. And so in him, we find that unity. What do you think of that, Bobby?
I think it's beautiful, honestly. I think it's a beautiful picture, a beautiful way to summarize all that Paul's talking about here. I love it. I'm grateful, gratefully grafted in.
And you know what's interesting? We see a lot of Gentile believers in Jesus who sometimes want to be Jewish. Now, if you are not Jewish and you're a Gentile believer and you love the Jewish Messiah, you might want to think twice about that, because you're going to have to eat gefilte fish. That's number one. And you really don't want, or chopped herring. You know, there's a lot of drawbacks to being Jewish besides all the persecution, you know. But there is this, I don't know, it's an inner compulsion, an inner identification for a lot of Gentile believers like you, Bobby, who have been grafted in and just feel at home in sort of a more Jewish kingdom, you know, because of the Jewish king and because of the promises. And I think that's a beautiful thing. When Gentiles feel as if they want to find a home in relationship to the Jewish people, not that they have to eat gefilte fish, but it does mean that there's a recognition that the Messiah is Jewish, the Old Testament's Jewish, New Testament was written by mostly almost all Jewish people. There's such a distinct Jewishness about the Christian faith. And I love it when Gentiles see that, understand it, and want to pursue that and feel part of that. And so that is, for me as a Jewish believer, raised to think that Christianity and Jesus were totally apart from being Jewish. And that to be a believer in Jesus is almost to forsake my heritage. But in fact, that's not true. It completes and fulfills my heritage. And lo and behold, there's a whole bunch of non-Jewish people who maybe at one time, at least my grandparents would have thought of as enemies, that now they're part of the family, and that together we are one family, all living off of the rich root of the olive tree and through our common relationships together through one common king. I think it's a beautiful thing. I'm grateful to Paul that God helped him figure it all out and express it.
Right now, we're just going to pause and listen to some messianic music. So sit back, enjoy, and worship the Lord.
Shalom, Shir Malot LeDavid,
You're listening to The Chosen People, which is produced and sponsored by Chosen People Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about this weekly program, or if you're curious to discover the deep and rich Jewish history of your faith, then let me encourage you to stop by our website. You'll find us online at chosenpeople.com/radio. And we even have a free gift just for saying hello.
Bobby, Dr. Tommy Fretwell wrote the book Why Israel? That explores the topic of Israel through the lens of Scripture. It brings clarity to a very controversial topic at times. Dear friend, if you've ever wondered if the church replaced Israel in the plan of God, or if Israel still has a future in God's plan, then you'll want to ask for your copy of Why Israel? As Bobby said, it's free and it's available online at chosenpeople.com/radio.
Or you can ask for Dr. Fretwell's book when you call us at 888-2-YESHUA. That's Y-E-S-H-U-A. And when you reach out today, be sure to let us know that you're enjoying this program. Our team loves receiving your emails and letters, so be sure to drop us a line and say hello today. You can send your letter in the mail by writing to us at Chosen People Ministries, 241 East 51st Street in New York, New York, 10022. And now let's close today's program with the Aaronic Benediction.
Vayishmorecha Ya'er ponav elecha V'chuneka Yisa Adonai ponav elecha V'yisem lecha shalom V'yisem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem Shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.